You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, well, that might be going. I've got no real idea what the levels are.
No, well, you know, it's rocket science.
I'll just try pushing you kind of up to there.
Great.
See what happens.
Are you recording, by the way?
I reckon that we've just started. So, hello, listeners. This is season 5 of The Discourse. Seasonal show. We're back and we are as bad as ever. Bad, not in the Michael Jackson 1980s sense, but bad in the Michael Jackson kind of 2010 sense. Actually, he was still pretty fucking awesome, but you know, he was a bad dude in some respects.
Okay, that's an interesting angle. I was thinking bad as in the not very good podcast hosts who don't come back from their Christmas break.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of stuff's happened since then.
Actually, that's interesting. What has happened?
I caught a fucking kingfish, bro.
Is that all?
It was... Wait, had I already done that? No, I hadn't done that, because it was kind of... Was it winter when we were last on? I mean, it was December, right? So I guess it was
winter was coming.
Yeah, winter was coming. Oh, God, we can talk about that too at some point. There's going to be no... it's going to be no sound effects. I'm probably going to put a... This podcast will bloody, bloody, blah on the front, but I don't think we'll even have theme music anymore. I think we've grown beyond that.
Oh, I'm sure growing's the right word. Shrunk beneath effort.
Yeah. I don't have a mixing console anymore. I'm just plugged everything. I've plugged one of the Audio Technica AT2030s directly into the Zoom H4N.
Yeah, I'm not actually recording this. Is that a problem?
Don't care. Actually, it might be a bad problem.
Okay.
Are you not recording?
Well, I meant to, but then you started suddenly and I didn't realise I hadn't hit record.
Well, so that might mean that the opening part, which was really the best part, is just silence.
Maybe.
You know, c'est la vie. If that's the way it is, it's the way it is. We don't even have a chat room. Although, I mean, in theory, they could probably be listening. Is this thing, it might have tweeted.
It should be relatively easy to figure. Oh, it has. Yeah, look at that.
So someone might even be listening. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. But then we didn't tell anyone. We did go 5 months between shows and then not tell anyone that it was coming back and then not even really tell each other that we'd started.
We really want the pressure.
That's right.
You don't understand the pressure of, like, anyone who's listening to this doesn't understand the pressure of hosting a vaguely popular podcast once a week, occasionally.
Yeah. Sort of. There is actually quite a lot of pressure.
Yeah, there's sometimes we think about doing preparation.
Think about it.
Yep. That weighs on my mind heavily occasionally for a few minutes.
Occasionally.
So, in the 5 months since we last spoke, you know, in this medium, what interesting has happened in your life? Anything?
Did I already mention the kingfish? Because that was amazing.
Mention the kingfish.
So let me tell you about the kingfish. It was on my light rod. I've got two rods and they're both pretty light, really. I mean, I don't do, you know, deep sea blue water fishing or anything.
You're not hunting for marlin.
No, definitely not hunting for marlin, but I wasn't even hunting for kingfish. So I was using this tiny little light rod that I got for like $40 on Torpedo 7 with very light braid. I think it's like 8-pound braid.
Basically fishing for sprats, were you?
Fishing for snapper.
Yeah.
It's a fairly light rod for snapper. I mean, it won't break. It's not light tackle. You know, it's not light tackle. But when I got a kingfish on this thing, man, the drag was it was flying off the reel. It was screaming out. It was so exciting.
Can you make the noise?
No. Like that.
And what was the noise you made when it made that noise?
Oh my God, what is it? Oh my God, it's a monster. Is it a shark? Oh, someone help me. Oh,
it's like I'm right there.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I took about 10 minutes to get it in.
Well, you don't want to rush these things.
Yeah. It's like, I was going to make a joke about sex. No one needs to hear that.
If we were going to do that, I would have brought something up with the two rods comment.
Yeah. There were about 10 rods on the boat.
Also a few fishing lines. Ah.
What?
I was turning around, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so the kingfish, that's good. Anything else?
Game of Thrones has started again.
Don't care.
It's so good. No spoilers, though.
I saw a lot of people tweeting Hodor.
Hodor.
I don't understand, but...
Hodor.
Yeah. Seemed to be some sort of inside joke on spoilers.
Hollywood Benedict Gracewood has just retweeted the Discourse Auto Mixler broadcasting tweet. By his enormous internet and social media power, we have one listener. It's probably him.
No. So, look, did you make a video around Christmas time? Maybe on Christmas Day?
I made a fishing video, but that wasn't the time I got the kingfish. That was on Waiheke. The kingfish was over at Coromandel.
It's not the one I'm thinking of.
I'm
sure I saw another video from you on Christmas Day.
Yeah, probably.
Anything? No.
People do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, season's greetings, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Next year I might do a...
I live tweeted a trampoline assembly.
That must have been thrilling for your thrilling. Surprisingly many... I don't actually understand why you have so many followers on Twitter, because you don't really say interesting stuff. I guess it's broadcast people, is it?
Some number of them. I have currently 3,966. I've been hovering, you know, about 100 under 4,000 since before Christmas. I thought maybe I'll crack 4,000 before the end of the year. It didn't.
That absolutely blows my mind that you have that many followers.
I'm getting like 10 extra followers a month at this rate, so, you know.
Let's see. Is there a way to...
I don't know what my clout is anymore, because I don't have a Twitter client that tells me my clout. So
can't you just log into the clout place?
That sounds like a lot of effort. I could also log into LinkedIn and do whatever the hell it is I do on LinkedIn, but I don't do that either.
No one does anything on LinkedIn. So the Mixler client is telling me there's one comment on the stream. The stream's actually... That confirms that the stream's up.
Stream.
I don't have any idea how to make it be quiet, though. I'm just going to have to...
I can't hear it, so
I'm just going to have to close the window.
It's not making it into the show.
Right, yeah, because I'm not using a mixer anymore.
Oh, look, there you go. I made mine make noise, though. So, whoops. Great. Brilliant. Good stuff.
Hopefully that means that I am recording locally.
It could mean a lot of things.
I wish the Zoom was a little bit better. Because, it's really great being able to use it as an audio interface. I use it as a microphone when I'm playing DayZ, which is a terrible game that no one should play.
Why don't you just use a microphone? But that's not the point.
It is a microphone.
No, but why don't you just use a normal microphone?
Like what? Well, I'd have to plug it into the... I'd either have to get the mixer out and have a whole lot of additional garbage to go with it, or I'd have to plug it...
Get one of those headsets with a USB plug on the end of it.
I actually, I'm considering doing that anyway, because it'd be quite nice for me if I could record these things just on my laptop without having to be anywhere specific.
It's surprising how difficult and poorly catered this stuff is. How hard it actually is to do this stuff. Like, we use Skype and, you know, you used to have a ridiculous series of cables and mixes and crap to record it on your end that was moderately problematic. This time we're just going through Skype and straight into Mixler, and also I'm recording it at my end on just some free Skype call recorder.
Yeah.
But it's just astonishing how difficult this is. Like, if we put another person on the call, there's no way to separate their audio from ours in the recordings. It's just silly. All of this is silly. It shouldn't be so hard. I don't understand why it's so hard when there are literally a bajillion people making podcasts, why this isn't a better catered for technical endeavor.
Speaking of things that are hard.
Okay,
ladies.
Back to your rod, is it?
No, it's very flexible. It's a very lightweight rod.
Mm.
I was thinking of filmmaking, because we're currently waiting for the regional results for the 48 hours furious filmmaking competition brought to you by Rialto. We both made films.
Channel 48 hours furious film. Yeah,
mine is much better than yours.
Certainly it is.
Well, it's yours, shorter.
yours made the audience favourites within our heat. Mine did not.
And I had a team of two.
Yes. And one of those was really just someone you roped in under protest, probably.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're talking about our masked legal avenger. She isn't part of my team, but you're right. She did also vote for us.
I actually wasn't really the team member I was talking about.
She's not a team member.
No, I'm not sorry, I know. Yes, it's all confusing. Anyway, we made short films on a weekend.
I made a really excellent short film called I Am Ball.
You did, and it is. No, wait.
It's short.
Yeah, you did, and it is short, and it is brilliant.
So the city, the regional finalists have been announced for a bunch of regions. Hamilton, Taranaki, Dunedin.
Yeah, the small ones.
Christchurch.
Finished screening?
Yeah, the heats have all finished, but I think there's probably going to be another couple of days. But it's possible that the finalists will be announced during this podcast, and that will make this probably a disappointment cast because I'm really hopeful.
Yeah, well, I would rate this year as your best chance of getting into the finals.
Yeah. At least for, like, best song or yep, something, because that is a brilliant song. I'm really glad it's
not completely broken film.
It's not even broken at all. It's
But often those really short ones are ones that have completely failed somehow.
It's absolutely complete, and I'm delighted with it. It's technically not lacking in any way. I'm happy with the color. I'm happy with the sound. Everything's in there. The story is good. I think a lot of people probably won't get the story because it's all sung. But I don't know. Maybe you could tell me if they
listen to a song.
It's not, and God, it's a well-performed song too. Jeez, I'm delighted with that. Absolutely,
but still,
fantastic.
There is one of the happenings over the past 5 months that I've been trying to steer you towards that hasn't happened yet.
That's true. I started a weight loss and exercise program.
Yeah, and you're tweeting constantly about your gym and eating.
Yes, I've lost 6.5 kilos since the beginning of March, so I will talk even more constantly about it because I'm extremely happy. I've worked very hard and I'm getting results.
Yay. And you haven't started hashtagging things with Thinspiration yet, so that's good.
I'm not going to.
Good. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Also don't Instagram photos of your protein shakes.
No, I won't. Yeah, no, I don't have Thinspiration anyway. I just don't want to be a fat dad.
Fair enough. Oh, dad, what's this dad business?
So that fish, man, it was so exciting. Yeah. It was a real battle. You know, there's a thing that happens with like a boat rod or with heavy tackle where, you know, it's hard to get the fish on the hook.
Yeah.
So, you know, sort of. You've got to time your strike. You've got to play that right. You've got to have your drag set right so it doesn't just break it off. You've got to try and guide the fish away from, you know, the surface structure, surface structure so that it, you know, you don't get all tangled up. But assuming that's all done, you act as a winch. You just wind it in. But when you're using a really light rod with fairly light braid, you know, things actually can break very easily. And playing that kingfish in was the most exciting, thrilling, and rewarding angling experience that I've had thus far. And a kingfish is a fantastic fish to catch and delicious.
Good.
I mean, we smashed it into steaks.
Yep.
Barbecued it.
It's all fresh, no smoked, because kingfish smokes well.
No. Didn't smoke it. Didn't feel the need to smoke it. We smoked the kawai. I'm not really a fan of the kawai. It's another fish I really like catching because it's fun. You know, you trawl them and they strike incredibly hard. But there's something about the kingfish. It's such a strong fish. I mean, the size limit, you can't take them under, I think, 85 centimeters, right? So it's a big fish.
Yeah. So just a reminder, you're listening to the Discourse Fishing Podcast.
Yep. And also exercise and weight loss.
Exercise and weight loss. Right.
I'm thinking of doing an exercise and weight loss podcast. And if I do, I'll call it Losers Society.
Because I was just thinking, because at the moment, just doing one podcast on nothing in particular is troubling.
Yeah.
But mind you, you could record. Could you record? It'd be quite good if you could do an exercise and weight loss podcast that you recorded at the gym.
Yeah.
During a workout.
I couldn't even talk. Like honestly, I could try to do that. That'd be pretty funny. All the other people there would think I'd lost my mind. I suspect they may already think I've lost my mind. I have a feeling
You get other people to come along too, though. Like, you have someone else that you're actually trying to interview while you're doing, you know, you're on parallel treadmills and... I think that could work great.
That could work great because I wouldn't be able to talk and constantly interrupt and overtalk them.
It could also work really badly, but that would be fine too.
Yeah. I've never liked those words like great and bad.
Okay, sure. Could work welly and poorly.
I'm sure it would be just fine.
Be different.
48 Hours was very different this year.
What made it different?
What made it different was that it was held, what, like 6 weeks earlier than previously?
Yeah, it has been. I'm pretty sure it's been this early in the past.
Right.
Or nearly this early.
But not for a while.
Not for a while. It's quite nice to have it. We actually had 49 hours because it happened on the Daylight Savings weekend.
Yeah.
Which made very little difference, I think, to most people. Although we did get a higher hand-in rate than usual, so maybe it did make enough of a difference.
Yeah, so there was...
More daylight hours on Saturday was nice.
Yeah.
And better weather.
Yeah. Last year was quite miserable in the rain. And yeah, and slightly more than an hour more sunlight, just by virtue of being the day before daylight savings. So the sign-up rate... I actually haven't evaluated it very rigorously. I think it was probably about 30 teams down on last year. According to my very quick count and calculation, it was about 30 teams. And it might be that they were the half-assed, useless teams that would have failed anyway, and that might be why the fail rate is so much lower, because the kind of useless teams just didn't sign up at all.
Yeah, I guess if they were too useless to sign up, they were too useless to deliver late. Or they weren't, you know, they would have been too useless to deliver on time.
And if you don't know about the 48 Hours Furious Filmmaking Competition brought to you by Rialto Channel 39, you might be unsurprised to learn that the most feared genre is musical.
Typically so, yes. I mean, there have been a couple of surprise genres in past years that have maybe equaled it for fear and unpredictability.
Yeah.
But musical's been a staple all the way through and has been troubling every year for many teams.
People are wrong to fear it.
I don't think that's true. I think people are right to fear it. You managed to tackle it appropriately, but for a lot of people it is very scary.
I made what a lot of people would call not a musical.
I would call yours more a musical than many of the other musicals I've seen.
I agree, and that's why I feel like I did embrace the genre. But some people think that to be a musical, you have to be Grease. You have to have or Blues Brothers, right? You have to have a bit of dialogue and then a song which does a bit of exposition and then some more dialogue and then another song, and maybe you have dances during those songs. Or the Buffy musical version.
Right? What I'd say is the most important part of it, though, is that the song is expositionary, right?
Yep.
So the song is expositionary either within, you know, reality or in a heightened reality, which your film does and which a lot of 48 Hours musicals don't do, where they seem to just kind of incorporate like a music video at some point or something.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you remember. Do you remember there was a season of Baywatch, at least one season? I don't know if you watched Baywatch a lot when you were younger.
Not that much.
Okay, I did. There was a season of Baywatch where every episode David Hasselhoff would do a song, and it would be like it would basically be a music video in the middle of the episode. It even came up with little you know, the little director and artist and title thing.
Wow.
Within the middle of the episode of Baywatch.
Yeah.
It was a pretty amazing. It must have been about like the fifth season or something.
Fourth season. So he didn't want to come back, and so as part of his package to return was the requirement that he could do that every episode, right?
I guess so. It may not have been every episode. Maybe it only happened once, but it somehow stuck in my mind as being every episode. It really felt like that.
Like, it's a joke that he was big in Germany, but he was really big in Germany.
He was big in Germany. He literally did stand on the top of the Berlin Wall while it was being dismantled.
And Germany is no laughing matter, because...
No one in Germany laughs. No,
that's not correct. They laugh probably more than just about anyone, but they actually laugh readily, long and hard. They are not very selective with their jokes. Everything's funny to those guys.
What else has happened? Like, I'm just thinking, the 5 months, there's all these things that have happened, and I've gone, oh man, shame we're not doing discourse at the moment, because I'd like to talk about that. So I'm going to go and jump straight into one of your favorite topics, which is Kim.com. And, well, I'm not sure if it's one of your favorite topics or not, because I'm not sure it existed the last time we talked about the internet party.
Bad asshole. Oh, actually, I mean, even... Okay, we can do that. Go on.
Well, I don't know. So the internet party is an interesting idea to me. It had... I mean, we spoke to Vikram Kumar before he was involved with the... He's involved with the internet party, isn't he? Right? He left Mega.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
The internet party.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for Vikram, and I know he knows what the hell he's talking about, and I know he has a lot of interest in making the internet in New Zealand better, which was what he was, you know, focused on doing at Internet New Zealand for a number of years.
Yeah.
So, and I'm fairly sure that beyond all Kim.com's blustering and media hype and all the other stuff, I don't doubt that he genuinely would like to make the internet a better place in New Zealand, and probably shares, you know, similar goals to Internet New Zealand in some respects and to many of us in some respects. But, you know, with whatever benefit comes with having him involved in something like that, there's also a whole chunk of not benefit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was interested to see what the internet party became. And it looked promising for a moment, I think. Like, it still had a lot of Kim.com in it, which was always going to be a bit awkward, but clearly he couldn't be directly, he couldn't be a candidate because he's not a New Zealand citizen, so that's not a problem. And at some point, you know, there were going to be grown-ups appointed to important positions that would kind of limit his influence a little. And they came up with this kind of party platform that was mostly focused on what I thought it should be, which was all sorts of internet and tech related issues, and in quite an open and interesting way. And then they went weird.
Yeah.
Then they decided they needed to, I don't know, have involvement from another party. So they went to Mana, which is, I don't know. It certainly has made me less interested in the internet party.
Well, let's be straight about what they decided they needed to do. What they decided was that they were not going to make it to 5%, and so they'd need to coattail on someone. And yep. Absolutely no other party is going to do a deal with them to have an electorate. No one in their right mind would do a deal with them.
No. But see, what I don't know. What I hope... I thought they could make 5%. You know, if they... Because the problem is... What they've got going for them, right, is... There's a lot of people in our broad demographic who probably swing both ways on social and economic issues, but who have a common sort of feeling about issues technical and internet. So I thought that if the internet party focused entirely on being a direct advocacy group for internet policy, for IT internet policy, then they could make some headway with both traditional sort of left and right voters by steering clear of any social or economic stuff directly.
Yeah.
Right. And they could just be, you could tick them as a party vote for saying, look, I really want some change in the internet policy. So whoever wins the election, I want you to seriously look at what the internet party was saying about what needed to be changed. And I thought that could work.
All right. So here's the thing.
But they've gone and aligned themselves with a dramatically socially economic, you know, with a party that has very dramatic social and economic policy.
Yeah.
Which defeats any chance of that.
Yeah. I would never vote for them. I would never vote for them. And I agree with you that some of those policies are actually really important and really important to me, and I would never vote for that party. And that's why I think they're absolutely fucked. Because if I wouldn't, who will?
Well... lots of people, I think. I would have considered.
I don't think it's lots of people. I don't think they have any prospect of getting 5%. And Mana, I think, will. Mana are pretty marginal.
Yeah.
I think
even for people who might vote Labour and Green usually.
Yeah. So Hone, the leader of Mana Party, and I think their only MP, he had a margin, I think, of about 800 votes in his electorate, yep. Right? So that's what they're trying to coattail on. Someone with a margin that small, you know? So there's a chance he won't even win his electorate, in which case they get nothing. So I think the last polling that I saw, I think Mana were on about 0.6% and Internet Party were on about 0.8%. So, you know, their combined total is well under 5%. I mean, it's more than ACT, right? But it's well under 5%.
It's interesting. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see Internet New Zealand become a... Well, I wouldn't like to see them become a political party, but if Internet New Zealand took what they are...
They're an advocacy group already. They're already an advocacy group. They don't need to be a political party. They are non-partisan at the moment.
I like the idea of being able to vote directly for... Because these policies are so important. Well, mind you, I suppose it doesn't really matter because perhaps, to some extent, other parties can adopt... You know, maybe they can work... Maybe the Internet Party can be beneficial and they can propose actual policy eventually that other parties can look at and decide whether or not it is valuable. And we can, you know, point to those policies and say, this is good. But cryptocurrency, an official New Zealand cryptocurrency, is not good. What was the other thing? Some sort of mass free online education was a thing, which is fine, but it already exists. They've got a bunch of weird policies and some good, well thought out policies.
Are you recording, by the way?
I don't know. I'd like to see some of those ideas actually enter into a serious political field. Somehow.
Yeah, I can hear you again now.
Great. Pleased to hear it.
So it's a bit frustrating that that audio drops out.
Does it?
Well, it's not the first time, is it? Before we started the Mixler, it dropped out once, right?
I don't know. What'd you do? Have you not been hitting things enough?
I don't think there's anything to hit.
Right. Anyway, so that was the Internet Party.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the Internet Party plus a big patch of silence and me going, "What the fuck is going on? Have you stopped talking, bro?" That's what happened on this end. I guess I'll edit that. God damn it! I don't want to have to edit.
Oh, sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, can't remember what else has happened in the... There's been a bunch of things around. Oh, what's the Labour Party today made some great policy announcement about, what, no trucks in the fast lane.
Everyone should untwist their titties about this. It's 5 months out from the election. It hasn't been announced as major policy. There are many policies that every political party has, and some people are actually strongly in favour of this policy about not allowing... I mean, the policy is that heavy trucks... on motorways of 3 or more lanes cannot use the fast lane. Ooh, let's all get excited about that. It's not fucking, it sounds reasonable to me, because why would they ever be in the fast lane? It's not unreasonable, but it's just no big deal. It's just one of the many policies that every party has, right?
Yeah, but it becomes a big thing, and
it becomes a big thing when you've got a media which is hopeless.
But you understand, you know, as a political party, they need to understand, they should understand how the media works and how their messaging works, and they should know that making announcements of seemingly banal policy just kind of makes them seem silly.
Yes, it does.
Like, it's my issue isn't with the policy, my issue is with how they manage their messaging and how poor it is.
They also
and it was the same last election.
They also announced something silly about, like, having no registration charges on caravans or something. It's like, are you fucking kidding? Why would you not have registration charges on caravans?
It's odd.
Like, every trailer has to have registration, doesn't it?
Yeah. Gareth Hughes tweeted shortly after that if he were making any changes to registration, it would be to remove registration fees from electric and... predominantly electric hybrid cars, I think, or maybe just electric cars, which I thought was actually, yeah, sure, why not? That's, you know, encourage uptake of that.
Yeah. I mean, do we really want to encourage people to use caravans?
I don't think so.
Is that a big problem area in New Zealand? Insufficient caravan uptake? Is that what's holding our economy back?
And you barely ever see caravans anymore.
And fucking good thing too. A tent is better... in many respects, unless you're staying in it long term, in which case you should be in a house.
Yeah, or at least you've taken the wheels off and you don't need to register it anymore anyway.
Yeah. Loophole.
Well, you probably have to actually specifically deregister it. I don't think just taking the wheels off works, but anyway. So yeah, discourse. Hey. So you mentioned
briefly, I thought I heard you use the word father earlier on.
Yeah, you're a suburban father of three. It sounds like your wife's having a bit of a hard time of it lately. Is that just like, it's just been such a long time? I mean, your oldest must be, what, 8 or 9 now?
He's 9 next week.
Right.
The youngest is coming up on 3, but it still seems a far, far way away.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. 3. I mean, he's still, to me, he seems like a baby.
Yeah, it's still hard not to call him a baby, but he's clearly not anymore. He walks and he talks and he, I don't know, you know, that's pretty much it. He walks and he talks.
That's amazing.
Those are the things that are not particularly babyish. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily want to be stuck in the house all day with him and then for a few hours with them as well.
I bet Mixler is not recording anything now. I bet Mixler's been recording nothing at all since the Zoom had to be restarted. That's what I bet.
Okay. Very frustrating.
Yeah, I think that started recording again now.
Right. So anyway, the angle I was getting at is I'm fairly sure you may also become a father.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, correct.
Great. How do you anticipate that changing your podcasting life?
This is an appalling technical failure.
Tragic. It's wrong all over the place.
I'm going to have to combine your shitty audio file with my shitty audio file. And what a fucking travesty. This is disastrous. I tried to simplify things, but...
And all you've done is complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I'm...
Shemozzle.
I'm more sorry than anyone could ever believe.
Nope, you're just about as sorry as I would believe.
I wonder if I can see what... So there are several comments now, and they probably are things like, hey,
Dick. What's wrong with you? Why can't you do this?
Why is there no sound, asshole? Or something like that. And I'll be like, fuck, good question. Really good question. I wish I could answer that. Yep. Hey, so there are many comments on the stream.
Three.
There are 4 comments, all from Kevin. Yeah, it's very kind of Kevin to comment. So first he says, hi. And then he says, the buzzing is gone. This is amazing.
Great.
And then he says, my amazement was short-lived. The stream is down.
Ooh.
A bloody disappointment.
Did I mention how surprisingly difficult this podcasting bullshit actually is?
I thought I'd cut out, like, basically everything that made it complicated, and it's just worse. I mean, maybe it sounds better when there's actually sound, but it's just worse, like, in every other metric.
How many other metrics are there?
3.
Okay, so it's simple. That's one positive metric.
Yes.
It sounds better, probably positive.
Yes.
And it doesn't work.
It's not reliable. It breaks. It
fails on the working.
It breaks just without warning. It just goes quiet. And that is very frustrating.
It is. That sounds frustrating. I would be frustrated. I am frustrated. I'm mildly frustrated.
I'm almost tempted to bring back sound effects.
Wow. That's dramatic.
Yeah.
Remember, I started writing an act for this.
Yes.
And then I stopped.
Maybe I should tell
me what I was doing.
Did he stop because it's hard? Because I think it's hard.
I stopped because it got complicated to try and figure out how to mix all the audio together for monitoring. I could send and receive individual streams of audio. That was not too hard.
Yeah.
Over UDP, which is fast and low latency and stuff. And I could it was also hard to test because, you know, limited computers. And then I got bored and probably found some TV show I wanted to watch and... Yeah, so it just joined the pile of unfinished projects.
I wonder if the problem with the Zoom is that I haven't actually got the Zoom plugged into the wall, so it's on battery power.
Well, then I'd expect it to keep stopping even more regularly than it has.
Yeah, and also, I mean, so it's got really sketchy battery life as it is. Even when it's not doing the phantom power thing. I think I've got a thing to plug it in with. I'm moving away from the microphone to breathe.
To breathe and look for a wall wart to plug your Zoom in.
Yep.
I, on the other hand, will just go looking at some like internet website and see like any of the many other options you could use for interfacing a microphone with your computer that aren't this.
Well, if we stop, I mean, you have not caused any problems on your end. All of the problems have been on my end.
Let's not get overly dramatic. I'm sure I could cause problems.
Yeah, but you'd have to try. I cause problems just naturally.
Yeah.
I guess like a USB headset would probably do the trick. But then the sound quality wouldn't be quite as good, except what's the use of high fidelity sound if it's actually recorded silent?
I don't know.
There is none. There is no use in that.
There are, of course, like USB microphones designed specifically for podcasting.
Who wants to use that junk?
Many people.
But this microphone is good.
It is a good microphone.
Listen to my honeyed tones as I speak a little bit too close and probably popping fluff.
Yeah, that's it. We need pop shields as well.
Yeah.
Pop. Yeah. And it's expensive in New Zealand anyway. It's not like you can just pop out and buy it. So then you have to ship it from overseas and it seems cheap, but by the time you ship it here, it's not cheap anymore. God, it's a hard life.
Are you recording, by the way?
So anyway, you found the power thingy? Oh, you've gone again. You undoubtedly broke your audio thingy again. I'm just going to keep looking. I'm just browsing bnhphotovideo.com if you ever want to buy any photo, video, audio stuff.
This is killing me.
That's great. That worked really well.
So the recording over here will have stopped again. Reload devices, microphones back. Oh my god!
Amazing.
I don't even get the comedy value of the failure because it just goes quiet. It's not funny for them. Like if they could hear my reaction over here when I hear the click and it all fucking goes off.
That would be quite good actually.
That would be funny, but they can't hear it because it goes off.
No, it just vanishes. I hear nothing and suddenly it goes silent and I think either Morgan's being very contemplative and not interrupting what I'm saying or he's disappeared.
Do you think we should just release this as is?
I don't know. It'd be painful to listen to. God. So that's a maybe from me. Very distinct maybe.
Is there anything else you want to say or should we just wrap this up now?
Yeah, should we wrap it up? I don't know. I was going to do a word of the week, but I didn't bother finding one.
I could find one
about some conspiracy theory, but fuck it, they're all stupid.
What's your conspiracy theory? Is it about vaccinations?
I don't know. Sometimes I read dumb conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. The MH370, the flight, Malaysian Airlines flight that disappeared.
Yeah.
Jesus, there's some dumb conspiracy theories about that from dumb people who are dumb.
Well, something happened.
No, absolutely. Something happened. It's very strange. Lots of unexplained things. What did not happen is Jacob Rothschild did not have the plane shot down so he could become the sole owner of a patent. That didn't happen.
I think that's probably right. I don't think it was shot down at all. I think it flew for a very long time. That would imply
possibly it wasn't shot down. It may also have been captured and landed at Diego Garcia.
I think we can be pretty confident that that didn't happen either.
Well, it might have happened because there was a photograph of nothing from a phone sent apparently by a passenger on the plane with a phone, iPhone 5, he'd stuck up his ass. But you knew it was a photo from Diego Garcia because the GPS data in the photo said that, and you cannot, I repeat, you cannot, it is impossible unless you are the CIA or some sort of major computer whiz kid, like super hacker.
Yeah.
You cannot change the GPS data in a photograph.
No, that EXIF stuff is written in stone.
Absolutely. Impossible to change. And if you did change it, you'd leave some sort of mark. It's not like you could just download the first thing that came up when you typed EXIF editor in Google and then seamlessly change the GPS data without leaving a single trace of the fact you'd done it. That certainly couldn't be done.
No. So the people who thought that, I mean, it was really nice when there was that brief time when we could imagine that maybe it had been kidnapped and taken up to like North Pakistan or somewhere. That was really nice because that meant that there was a chance that those people weren't all dead. But the problem with that is that all through there would be radar installations because it's a military hotspot all through there. Yes. So there's just no way it went over any country.
It's a military hotspot and not a major commercial like air.
No, it'd be obvious. Yeah, it'd be exactly. obvious. So basically, the only place it could go was over the ocean, and the only place it did go was down over the ocean, and it crashed into the ocean.
People
and
have some amazing ideas about what technology can do. They're like, well, why can't we? Where's the GPS data from the black box? It's like, well, the black box, A, doesn't transmit GPS data, and B, well, it just doesn't transmit GPS data, and if it does, it's underwater now, so that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, well, if the NSA can take photographs of, you know, number plates from space, why can't they see a plane? It's, well, you know, why can't your camera take a photograph of an ant somewhere in the world just because it can take high-resolution photographs? It's like, you know, can't look at everything all at once.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. The, yeah, the Jacob Rothschild thing. So, Freescale Semiconductors. I'm sure you've heard about this.
You know what? So, I mean, so people are like, oh, well, you know where my phone is because you're tracking me. Well, chuck your phone in the middle of the ocean.
Also, to put your phone on, like, well, why can't they just track the passengers' phones? It's like, well, because when they got on the plane, they put their phones on flight mode.
And also, they
were told to.
They're out of range of any cell.
Yeah, and also because they're, like, in the middle of the fucking ocean.
They're at the bottom of the ocean!
Yes, or, you know, before that, they were flying over the ocean where there is no cell phone coverage. You tried, like, you'd know from your many fishing exploits, the cell phone coverage doesn't go far into the sea.
Yeah, it's patchy. Yeah, it's patchy.
But yeah, the Jacob Rothschild thing, there were 20 employees from Freescale Semiconductor, a company that has about 20,000 employees,
right,
on the plane. And because Freescale Semiconductor makes microchips that get used in all sorts of things, therefore there was focus on them.
Yeah.
And there was a patent for the ability for a technique by which you can fit more microprocessor dies on a single silicon wafer,
yeah,
which was issued a couple of days after the plane went missing. It had four inventors named because there were four inventors, and the accusation is that all four of those people were on the plane. They weren't, the passenger list says so, but the accusation is that they were, and that therefore they died, and therefore instead of Freescale Semiconductor and the four inventors each owning 20% of the patent, now Freescale Semiconductor, apparently wholly owned by Jacob Rothschild, but it wasn't,
yeah,
owns 100%. But that is not, like, the people weren't on the plane, and so they didn't die.
And wouldn't their families own whatever they owned?
Well, they would, except their families don't own whatever they own because they didn't own the patent in the first place. They were named as inventors, not assignees of the patent.
Right.
So they don't own anything. They just are listed as the inventor.
But someone with the name Rothschild has to be up to something.
Absolutely. Rothschild is one of many international advisors for the Blackstone Capital Group who own 30% of Freescale Semiconductors. So even if the first two things that are not true were true, and that somehow Freescale now owned 100% of a patent they previously owned 100% of but didn't, then he still, at most, if he owned Blackstone Capital, which he doesn't, but if he did, he'd own 30% of that patent, not 100%. He wouldn't be the sole owner.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yes.
And the patent isn't for what many people claim it is, which is a super small microprocessor that can then be used to make military drones the size of insects. That's not what it's for.
Yeah.
So it's wrong on every count.
Do you want to hear about another conspiracy?
Yes. Great. Let's do that.
There's a conspiracy against Jenny McCarthy.
Is there?
Yeah. She reckons she's not anti-vaccination.
No. All those things she said that seemed anti-vaccination. No, not at all.
So someone made an interesting point about this, related to this, tangentially. So there's all these kids with their fucking allergies, these sick, average fucking kids that 4,000 years ago would all be dead before the age they got to,
yeah,
with their peanut allergies and such. And because of their peanut allergies, no one can take peanuts to school.
Yep.
But these anti-vax, these kids of anti-vax parents, they're allowed to take measles to school.
Yes, they are.
And mumps and whooping cough.
Oh, whooping cough. God, that's horrible.
Yeah, I have to get a whooping cough vaccination soon.
Yes, good. Do that.
Don't really have much choice.
Good. What's it? Actually, I should see. There's a thing I should probably find out. A number of things.
Yeah, you don't. Apparently, you don't last very long on whooping cough.
No. And you can carry it without suffering from it, I think.
Yeah.
Which is an issue.
Yeah, I could because I'm strong.
Very strong. So strong.
Mm-hmm.
Manly strong.
There is not a conspiracy, but there is. We could fix another problem, and that is hunting, with hunters getting shot every year. Often it seems like a couple every year, shot by other hunters who think that they are aiming at deer in the bush.
Yeah, see, I've never hunted,
mm-hmm.
but I've done quite a lot of firearm safety stuff and yeah. shot firearms at targets quite a few times.
Yeah.
And I don't understand this because it was drilled into me, and mind you, I've never tried to shoot actual animals in the bush, but it was drilled into me that you don't shoot at something unless you're sure what you're shooting at is what you think it is.
Yeah.
Like, you have to identify your target.
Yeah.
And so clearly people who are doing this are not identifying their targets properly, because a person doesn't look like a deer. It's very simple.
Well, except people who have shot their mates, and people who have had close calls with almost shooting their mates and other hunters, they often say, listen, I was absolutely sure I was aiming at a deer. I was absolutely sure. And then something changed and it became clear that it wasn't a deer. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is. And I think I may have mentioned this before, probably about 3 years ago on this bloody show. Who knows, though? We've covered a lot of ground.
No one knows.
So the most popular high visibility clothing is orange blaze.
Yeah.
Red-tailed deer, right?
Right.
Or orange, even yes. just dawn and dusk light color, right? It's orange. What we need is all of our hunters in pink blaze. It already exists. And it is almost impossible to confuse it with anything else in the bush. It stands out so clearly. Orange often doesn't stand out at all, or looks a bit like a deer.
Mm.
Pink blaze. People have to get over pink being whatever, girly or whatever.
That's a bit gay.
Because it will save your life. What's gay about pink?
It's a bit gay.
What's gay about it?
It's just pink. It's a bit gay.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess the association with gayness started with the Nazis with their pink triangles. Actually, I don't know if that's where it started. Exactly. But so are you saying that you're a Nazi?
No.
Pink is associated with girls. Okay, are girls...
So wearing,
right, Dylan, I'll, are I'll girls gay? The, I'll, are girls gay? The, girls, are they gay? Dylan, are they gay?
Girls? Gay? Some of them. So I'll stand down on the pink is gay thing. But if anyone goes out there wearing rainbow blaze,
yep.
that's gay.
I really like rainbows.
I love rainbows.
Are you gay?
It's fine.
Rainbows are joyful. I don't see why gay people are the only people who are allowed to have fun.
I was just thinking there are people who probably still have subscriptions to our podcast.
Yeah.
Just sitting in their whatever podcast app.
Yeah.
Just, you know. Haven't been updated in months because there hasn't been a new podcast.
Yeah.
This will just download. They won't even notice it. They'll probably just, you know, listen to a new podcast every day, just whatever comes up in the queue. And suddenly...
Christmas in April.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Just speaking in their heads with this stupid bullshit again.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I hope that everyone has taken their 1 or 2 days off that they need to next week to get 10 days off.
I have not. And not only have I not, I am working on Good Friday.
You are some kind of idiot.
Well, I can't take time off. If I take time off, some people don't get to watch their favourite television show.
No.
No, so I just have to work harder to make it in the other days that I go back to work.
Honestly, you could make that time up easily.
I could, but it's actually very bad timing for the work that we're doing. But anyway, that's fine. I'll just carry on. I'll just keep doing my work, struggling away so that people can be entertained and soap can be sold or whatever.
Yeah. If you see someone drowning...
Mm.
Number one, and this is something we've spoken about before, learn to recognize the difference between someone fucking around in the water and someone actually drowning. People who are drowning, don't wave. People who are drowning, try to climb out of the water.
Yep, they often have their head sort of tilted back a little bit and kind of not really struggling as much as you'd expect.
And they sort of bob, and yep. they look like and they're trying to climb up a ladder, trying to just crawl out of the water, but of course they can't because it's water, not a solid. It's a liquid.
Okay, that's step one. What's step two?
And they make no noise. They just go silent.
Right.
And they bloop. And they go bloop, bloop.
And they disappear.
Step two is do not swim to that person unless you have something floaty that you can push out in front of you to them without getting yourself in harm's way. Because they will fucking drown you.
Because they're trying to climb things and there's nothing solid there. When something
as
solid
soon as
gets
they
there,
touch
you,
they'll try to climb up you and that will push you under the water.
Yep.
Yeah, there's techniques to avoid that, but it's a floaty thing is a very good idea.
So according to Surf Life Saving New Zealand, about 50% of the deaths at beaches were people who were trying to rescue someone they thought was drowning. About half of the people who drown are trying to save the day. So, you know.
Yep, and you hear those stories all the time.
Yep.
Horrible stories of some father drowning trying to save his children. Or.
And then the children just wash up on shore fine.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Drowning. Ooh, awful. I don't know. I wonder if you could. Like having a first aid kit in your car, could you have a product that people could take with them to the beach without, you know, having to drag around like a surf life-saving tube or something? Is there one? If there's a product.
What are those things that you ride when you're not body surfing? I can't remember the name of them. The things that aren't surfboards.
Boogie boards.
Boards. A boogie board will do the job nicely.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But, you know, if you don't want to actually have one, I wonder if there's like a little, I wonder if someone's invented some sort of like little gas-inflated, floating, helping rescue device.
It seems like it'd be easy enough. You just need to use the same bladders that you get in modern life jackets.
Yeah, exactly.
With a little CO2 cartridge. You could have a button and it could expand quickly.
Yeah. If it doesn't exist, it should.
So my last story is very discoursey. This one was in, I don't know what city this is in.
Vancouver.
No, it's in China. Middle-aged man had a skipping rope successfully removed from his
ass.
No. What and what after he had inserted it for sexual pleasure? That's correct. Bladder and urethra.
Ah,
he got it all the way into his bladder. What a genius.
Urethra was bad enough. Bladder?
Yep. He found, after he managed to insert this thing all the way into his bladder, he then found it too difficult to pull out.
We've all been there.
He tried to live his life with this thing up his willy, and then it became very painful and difficult to urinate because he had this thing all the way up his urethra, and he went to the doctors.
And the doctor went, what the fuck?
Yep. Skipping rope. All the way up.
There's just an alarming, like, if you want to putting things in dumb places and doing dumb things, the internet is
it's rife with it.
Shocking. And every now and again I see something that actually surprises me. That would have surprised me if I saw a picture of it. You've gone silent again. Did your thing break? Or are you just contemplating the skipping rope urethra business?
Fucking fantastic.
Yep, it broke again, didn't it? That's brilliant.
Oh, fuck! God damn it!
Oh, it's genius. Did you see the American Airlines tweet?
Just a second. I went looking for that because I only the screen grab I saw only had the top of that picture, and I was like, oh, I want to see more about what's going on there in that picture.
So I saw a couple of people like tweeting tweeting at US Airlines or US Airways or hashtag US Airways, and I was like, what's that? So I clicked on the hashtag link.
Yeah.
And like the first thing that came up in my hashtag search result was someone had tweeted a screenshot of the whole image.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, I hope corporate IT doesn't notice that.
NSFW motherfuckers.
Very astonishingly. So what I guess happened, because the tweet in question was basically just a fairly innocuous reply to someone who had asked a question, and it said, you know, go to our support center to post a question or a ticket or whatever. And it had a URL, you know, of course, Twitter shortens URLs, and maybe I can't remember, it was an image URL or something.
Imgur.
Imgur. And so, yeah, that was a very explicit pornographic image of someone pleasuring herself with a model Boeing 777.
Yeah.
Sort of image that would amuse airline staff, I imagine.
Yeah.
And what I imagine happened was that he thought he had one URL in his clipboard and instead he had another.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
But usually it's not so dramatic.
I almost certainly have been there, but never on a corporate Twitter account.
Never on a corporate Twitter account, and seldom explicit porn.
No, not explicit porn.
So that was hilarious.
I think people should just not get excited about that stuff, and then they wouldn't bother trying to copy and paste it to their mates.
Yeah, I mean, beyond anything else, it seems, even if it seems a fairly inappropriate URL to have in your clipboard to start with.
Yeah.
Assuming you're doing work stuff, probably on a work computer at work. But, good. Hilarious.
Are we going to call this one done?
Sure, why not?
Done. So this is season 5.
I think
we're never going to have another season after season 5. This is going to be the one that goes on forever.
So what was our... We talked briefly offline ages ago about the... is it still the Discourse Weekly Show, or is it the Discourse Occasionally Show?
Let's see.
The Discourse Sometimes Show.
Let's find out.
The Discourse...
Periodical.
Here's another one show.
The Discourse. Oh boy, I wonder if this one's good or not. Well, surprise.
The Discourse Will Morgan's Audio Keep Working the Whole Way Through Show.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was going to be a problem like this.
No one knew. No one could have predicted. No one.
So not having the little audio thing means that there's no like, bloop, 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 the end thingy, bloody blah.
I explored this as well. There's ways you can play it into Skype. I just can't remember what they are.
Fish and chat, fish and chat, fish and chat.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
I don't have one. Well, my voice sounds completely different depending on which side of the mic I talk on.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
And here I am.
I'm talking into the microphone cable now. Do I sound a little different? I believe that I do.
Now I'm talking into the microphone. Now I'm talking into the back of the microphone.
This is the other side of the microphone.
Now I'm talking into the desk.
Like, I'm moving my mouth from here. This is one side, and I move it over 2 inches over here, and then it's different on this
sounds
side.
Sounds better.
Which side should I be talking on?
The one that sounds better.
This one?
No.
This one?
No. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. That's the way I like it. There you go.
It's here.
Now let's get this thing started. Talk into the microphone from a great distance.
Back here. Okay. So we'll start the new Discourse show in 5, 4, 3, 2.